This message is brought to you by 12 Stone Church. Pastor Kevin Myers delivers his teaching entitled Rewind to Build Up. It is the second teaching from the series Family Dynasty. Should you need additional information, please go to 12stone.com. Here you will find many resources, including this teaching in both audio and video formats in the media section. There is also an extensive archive of past teachings. We hope this serves you well. Please enjoy.
Well, good morning, 11 o'clock. How are we doing today? Now, let me talk to you, 11 o'clock. This room is full. Cafe Theater is full. Cornerstone Theater is full, and they're pouring into the lobby. Now, let me just tell you something. As cool as that is, you all may not know. So if you're listening in the Cafe Theater or the Cornerstone, and you've all in this room, you may not know this. But we started a Saturday night service at 6 o'clock. At what time? Literally, church, you could come Saturday night at 6 o'clock, have an awesome experience, it's identical to Sunday, with your family, sleep in and keep sleeping even through the 11 o'clock hour. You could hang out as a family and just enjoy the whole day. Up to you, but some of you might think about it because obviously there's some limitations on the building. Think about it, won't you? I was 18 years old in 79. And in that summer, I was working on my way to college, and I had no car options. We were pretty poor. And estranged from my dad, from a broken family, so it was quite surprising that my dad said, son, I'm going to give you the old station wagon. Now, I was excited about this because I remembered the old blue station wagon, and it was... I thought it was a pretty cool car back then. It was more of one of those sporty-like station wagons. In my mind, my imagination when he said that is like this, what you're going to see on the screen. That's kind of how I imagined the station wagon being when it was going to be delivered to me. When I got the station wagon, well, there's no point in a picture. I'll just tell you. It was a piece of junk. You see, a couple years, two, 3 years before, it had been in an accident. It had been left under a carport. Since then, hadn't been driven in Michigan weather, winter, hello, rusting, tire rot. I mean, the wheels wouldn't even hold any air. I could barely get the thing started, couldn't keep it running. I spent $100 I didn't have just to put used tires on it, hoping to get it on the road. And then my older brother, I brought him up, said, come on, help me with this. And he's a pretty capable mechanic. And when he got done, he just shut the hood and looked at me. He said, Kevin, it's worthless. It's worthless. Just get it to the junkyard and hope you get $100 so you're even. I was crushed. I mean, I was all my hopes and dreams. Just horrible day. I took it to the junkyard. All I could get out of it was $50. Yeah. I'm now $50 in the hole. I don't have any money. I'm $50 in the hole and I have no transportation. So my only way to get around is still the bus, the bike, walk. But I learned a lesson that day that is true to life. I want you to hear it. Nothing gets better with neglect. Nothing gets better with neglect. Nothing gets better by accident. That car didn't magically and mysteriously get better while it sat there under the carport. It didn't build up into an awesome car. All it did was breakdown. And that is true to life. And that is true for family. See, family is like that station wagon. It does not accidentally build up into something awesome. Family needs attention and intention. Say it with me. Family needs attention and intention. And if it doesn't get that, if it's just left on its own, it will simply break down. So welcome to week two of Family Dynasty. Today, rewind to build up. Everybody take your Bibles, Worship Center Bibles. We're going to turn to 1 Thessalonians. Here across the campuses, grab a Bible underneath your chair, wherever it is alongside you. We're going to turn over to page 1188. Actually, let's make it 1186. We'll go to the first part of 1 Thessalonians. We'll start right there in chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible of your own, make this our gift to you. If you have a Bible of your own, turn over to 1 Thessalonians. We'll start in chapter 1 briefly. Now, the Apostle Paul, as you're turning there, I set it up. The Apostle Paul wants this church family to thrive. Well, let me ask you. How many of you would like your personal family this year to thrive? Anyone? Okay, don't do that casually. Sound like, Listen. When you this year watch some families thrive while yours breaks down, this is no accident. You have a hand in it. What you neglect breaks down. Forbes sent out an article for 2014 and talked about the New Year's resolutions we tend to write. Like I want to lose weight, I want to get fit, I want to spend more time with family. Those are among the most popular. And yet only 8% ever achieve their New Year's resolutions. Why? Oh, because we pontificate rather than translate into something doable. We say the ideals we know we want to have be true of our life, but we don't make it simple and tangible and doable. Listen, we're going to make this series today simple, tangible, and doable. But you got to want it. So let me ask you again. How many of you want your family to thrive in 2014? Let's see the hands. Absolutely, me too. And I've got good news for you. God would put his hand up for you. God wants your family to thrive in 2014. He really does. By the time you hit chapter 5, verse 18 of this scripture in 1 Thessalonians, it says, and this is how God wants you to live. See, God knows how life works to the full. And you go all the way back in the beginning. God created male and female, man and woman. And it says a man will leave his father and mother, will cling to his wife, the two will become one flesh. What God has joined together, don't divide. Now, be fruitful and multiply. Have kids, meaning family. Here we go now. God established family. And when God established family, he established it with this undeniably unique bond to build up one another. See, family is not only where you gain physical life, it is where you learn the truths of life. Hey, it's where you get the tools of life. So powerful is the family and what God created it to do and be informing us and building us up, that by the time you get to the New Testament, Paul is talking about the church and he's using the metaphor of the family. You should so understand the substance and the core of what builds family that now take that and apply it to the church, because that's what we should be doing together as a church. The church becomes family, church family. And you see that as it carries out in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at verse 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father. God the who? Father. So God is our Father. There you go, family language. We're his sons and daughters. We come into relationship with God, restored through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We're family. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. And I want you to see how he leverages this family language. Chapter 2, verse 1. You know brothers and sisters. You know who? Brothers and sisters. This starts weaving throughout the writing. Look over at verse 9. Surely you remember what? Brothers and sisters, verse 17 of chapter 2. But brothers and sisters, you see this repeatedly. In fact, 15 times in this short book, these five chapters, he references them as brothers and sisters, a family language. Chapter 5, verse 1, turn over there, page 1188. Now, brothers and sisters, again, verse 4. But you, brothers and sisters. And now he's describing in chapter 5 that we are children of God, children of light. The world who is far from God, fallen, following Satan, lives in darkness. And so because we've come to God through Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sin restored to him, we live by the truth, the light of the truth. And therefore, we should help one another in the family of God in very specific ways. And in verse 11, he describes what's at the core of family. Look at verse 11, chapter 5. Therefore, here it is, encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. Encourage one another and build each other up. See, it was already understood that this is the core of a family dynasty. You encourage and build up. Say it with me. You encourage and what? Build up. One more time. You encourage and what? Build up. That's what family has, a unique bond where we can build up one another. And there are three simple, tangible, doable things. And we're going to go after them right here. Grab your teaching notes. Here's the first one. Don't consume. Look, don't just consume, connect. Fill in the blank with me, everybody. Don't just consume, do what? Connect. Harvard was doing a study over an 8-year period, 65 different kids, multiple families. And they were trying to discern in this study by tracking playtime, story time, family events, all the things that went on to form a child into a healthy human being. And here's the question they were asking. What most fostered healthy development? You got the question? What most fosters healthy development? Do you know what the answer was? You know what the one thing that you can do in family, the leading thing you can do to foster healthy development? Are you ready? The family dinner. The family mealtime. Like, are you kidding me? All this stuff. There is so much research. I won't bore you with all the research, but it's absolutely fascinating. In fact, in the book, The Hour That Matters Most, talking about the family mealtime, Les and Leslie Parrott invite us to some questions as parents, as family. How connected are you? Here's five questions. You go ahead and answer them, true or false. Here we go. True or false. I know what my child most often daydreams about. True or false. I know the best and worst part of my child's school day. True or false. I know my child's greatest fear. True or false. I know the names of my child's 6 closest friends and a little about their parents. True or false. I am intentional about having a meaningful conversation with my child every day. True or false? See, as you answer false to one or more of these, you begin to understand that it's there at the family table where you don't merely consume food, but you connect together. And you might well need to begin to lean into that or discover that if you are there, you might need to shift to make this meaningful for connection, because family does not build by accident. There's something I want you to draw on your notes. If you've never seen me do this, then you need this. I should repeat this probably 3 times a year or more as a church so that we understand this. It's so practical to how life works. There is what we often call around here the speed of life. In fact, what I really want to call it is the speed of results. In other words, all of us live at high speed. The speed of results is high and fast rocket projection. You have to live fast. You get things done fast. This is busy, busy, busy. Life lives at a blur. In fact, the essence of this is you live life on a run. On the what? On the run. You live life on the run. In fact, that's how all of us have learned to do life. That's how we get stuff done. And we live life on the run. Now, here's the reality. There is a different speed in life. And this is called the speed of relationship. And the speed of relationship is dynamically different. This is the speed you do on a walk. On a what, church? On a walk. See, this is slow. Attentive. Build up. And if you try and build up family at the speed of results, your family on the run tends to experience distance and disconnect. Because in order to build up family, you have to change the speed. Certain things grow at different speeds. And the speed of relationship has to grow on the walk. Part of what happens in the family mealtime is that you change the speed in order to build up, in order to connect. See, my family's been doing this ever since my kid, first one, was born. at least four nights a week, 30 to 60 minutes, no tech, no toys, no TV, lock eyes, engage life. It's powerful because it sets the trajectory of family, that simple hour a day. Oprah, when she had her show and was popular with that show, brought a group of families together who did not have their family mealtime. In fact, the majority of Americans do not practice what we're talking about right now, and that impacts family greatly. We live in a society that tends to break down in family. And the challenge to this group of families was each of them for 1 month, every night, to have a mealtime together. And everybody signed on, said, okay, we'll do this little test together. You know what they discovered? Because everybody had to keep a journal. Everybody had to keep a journal of what was going on. And as they journaled, you know what they discovered? They said over the first week or two, it was awkward and forced. And you know what? If you haven't been doing this, that's what your family's going to experience. You're going to say, I quit, forget it. But because they made a full month commitment, they all had to keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. By the end of the month, every one of them conceded that their family had now begun to experience the benefits of it. It moved beyond awkward, beyond forced. It became natural, and they felt closer and more connected. And every one of them committed to doing this as a family rhythm. Do you see the power of this? Listen, don't just consume food. Connect. There's a second thing. Don't just unwind, rewind. Don't just unwind. Do what? Rewind. In other words, if you're asking, well, what do you do when you get to the family table? I don't even know what to do. We watch TV. No. No TV, no toys, no tech. What do you do? Well, as Miles introduced in week one, the opening of the series last weekend, he helped us understand that the Duck Dynasty clan is the most recognized, most watched family in all of America. And there's something they do at the end of every episode. They gather around the what? The table, the family meal. And it usually looks something like this.
Father, we do thank you for this good food you bless us with. Especially today, Father, I thank you for these daughter-in-laws that married our sons. I pray, Father, they'll always love one another. Amen.
Amen.
Now let me push pause. That's what Miles taught last week. Push pause. Pause to pray as a family. I hope you're working on that as a family. If you slip on that, get back to it. Don't quit. Stay at this. This is going to build something solid in your family dynasty. But there's something else that they do at the close of each episode. So I have to push play again for you to see it. Check it out.
The saying, if you don't learn from your past, you are doomed to repeat it, was clearly directed at the Robertson clan. Our wives should have known by now that despite our best intentions, we will lose or forget things, be it rings, buried coins, or even our dignity. But we do what we can, and we are learning. Honestly, though, who hasn't lost a wedding ring or two?
See, it usually closes the episode with Willie giving a rewind of the day. There's some great insight there. Don't just come to the table and unwind. Rewind. If you're asking, what do you do when you get to the family table? I don't know what to do. I don't know. What does it mean to connect? Well, you have to get into one another's lives. In the hour that matters most, they make a suggestion. It's a great suggestion. Write this down. Go practice this. This will help you incredibly. A little formula. Sad, mad, glad. Make your conversation around those things. Today, tell me what made you sad, what made you mad, what made you glad. And that becomes the core of the dialogue. Rewind the day. Get into one another's life. So same with me. What are the three? Sad, mad, glad. One more time. Now everybody together. What is it? Sad, mad, glad. Now you know what to do at the table. Sit down and say, all right, here we go. We're going to do sad, mad, glad. So everybody take a turn. Talk about what made you sad. We'll dialogue about it. We'll Q&A. We'll ask follow-up questions. We'll connect with each other. We'll empathize with each other. We'll say, oh, my goodness, tell me more. We'll get in the story. We'll begin to share. The magic of the family bond begins to build. It's a powerful thing. See, if the Duck Dynasty group had this conversation of sad, mad, glad, well, then Jace would have begun to share his story. Jace, what made you sad today? And he might share this little slice of his day.
Can we just go? These places make me nervous.
because it's like I'm looking at fishing lures without hooks. If you're trying to attract a predator, you would get the most shiny thing you could find.
We're not trying to attract predators.
That's my point.
That's what I'm trying to keep at bay. No, this flashes and says, back off, I'm married.
A few years ago, as in 20 plus, I lost my wedding ring.
What can I show you?
I'm not a ring type of guy. Why do I need a ring? When women see me, they run.
You're making excuses is what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. I'm picking creatures out of my beard on a frequent basis. Babe, there's probably 12 women in the world that are probably ex-cons who look at me and say, yeah, that's worth a shot.
Oh, what does that say about me? Thanks a lot.
Well, I'm saying I've let myself go since I met you.
Okay, can we just focus here? We're getting a ring.
Do you see any that you like?
No.
So, Jace, what makes you sad? Well, doggone it, I've been without a ring for 20 years, and she wants me to have one. That just makes me sad. Messes with my manhood, but because she wants one, I have no choice. And everybody around the family table can talk about what made you sad today. What didn't go your way? What kind of produced a little bit of downer for you? Everybody gets to talk about it. Have family connect time. All right, let's talk next. What makes you mad? Well, if Jace had an opportunity to insert a little slice of his day, maybe this is what he'd say is what makes him mad. Check it out.
Are you still pecking around that ring?
Yeah, I'm pecking around. I can't get used to it. Feels awkward.
I don't know why Jace is still talking about this. You got the ring. It's a done deal.
See how this ring is on my gun? I don't like that.
Ruining a perfectly good duck hunt by whining about it ain't gonna change Missy's mind.
I cannot leave it alone.
Just admit that Missy wears the pants in the family so we can get back to making fun of you.
Yeah, that ring go good with some skinny jeans.
I don't even know what that is.
I heard some wings. I heard some wind on wings.
On your right there.
Hey, I don't know about you boys, but hey, I was two for two.
Don't be claiming my ducks, I.
Hey,
I kill one for sure.
How many you see out there?
Four.
Now hold on, forget that, because I think I lost my ring.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness. I don't have it. Oh no. I had the ring on my finger, I shot, and now the ring's gone.
That's not good.
Missy is gonna blow a gasket.
So, Jace would share around the table, guess what made me mad today? I just got the ring, and now I lost it. And if he tells a little bit more of the story, he'd tell how Willie kind of goaded him into maybe going to the tattoo parlor and getting her initial on his ring finger, something he can't lose. And, of course, he doesn't like needles. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just don't care for needles? Oh, my. And so Willie kind of brings him to the tattoo shop, and there's going to be a moment where he's got to decide, before I go home, can I really go home without the ring? And if you ask him, what made you glad today, he might share this little moment. Check it out.
I'm getting the hibby-jibbies.
Chase, it's not a big deal.
I don't know. Since I don't have a better idea.
Eating that spider web across your shoulder.
At least I can say, look, I decided to become branded for you.
Missy's like the spider.
That's not making me feel much better. What kind of woman wouldn't like that? Probably my woman. Face an angry woman or do something desperate.
Nah, that's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, okay. So, I'm in. So what do I gotta do?
How long does it take whenever it actually...
Once we do the paperwork, set him up, 10,
like once you're
minutes,
doing it, it's just short, huh?
Yep, see him in a chair and good to go.
It was in my pocket.
You stupid idiot. You've had it the whole time.
The whole time? I had it the whole time. I had it the whole time.
I know, I just said that.
Now, do I feel like an idiot?
I do feel stupid.
Maybe.
So what makes you glad? I found my ring. In other words, it's not that complicated. When you get to the family table, don't just unwind, rewind. Do sad, mad, glad. Connect with one another. Get into one another's life. Let the beauty of building up one another kind of grow up through dialogue and empathy and connection. Get in one another's story. This is a powerful thing. Every family can practice this. You can commit. We're going to go do this as a family. We're going to get in one another's life. We're going to slow down the speed of life. We're not going to run at a run pace. We're going to slow down. We're going to walk and connect. We're going to pour into family. In fact, the Apostle Paul, when he said, encourage and build up, he didn't stop there. He gave some practical insight. That's why I put in your third point. Don't just blah, 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 build up. Don't just blah, 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 do what? Build up. There's a way to do this. So I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But hey, I don't want you to check it out in the NIV version that you have. I want you to look on the screen so I can read it from the message. It so practically brings it to family. In fact, as I read through this, I think he gives us an overarching statement that we want for our families and almost a family code with three insights. Here we go. Look at it. Get along. What's those first two? Get along. Isn't that really all we want, families? Parents, don't you just, oh, come on. How many times have you said, can't you just what? Get along. Man. Get along among yourselves. He's writing to family, not just church family, but you know, this applies to all our family. So I wrote at the top of my notes right here under point number 3, I just wrote, get along. And then there's a family code, 3 things that follow right here in scripture. Get along among yourselves. And here's the first one. Each of you doing your part. Do your part. Do your part. Say it with me. What? Do your, if you're going to have a family code, these three might need to be your family code. You might take this scripture, read it as a family, memorize it as a family. The first one is this, do your part. And he describes it. Our counsel is that you warn the freeloaders to get a move on. Gently encourage the stragglers and reach out for the exhausted, pulling them up to their feet. Number 2, be what? Patient. Be what? That's number 2. Family code begins with do your part. 2, be patient. Be patient with each person. Attentive. Look what he writes. Attentive to individual needs. And be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other. That's good advice for family, isn't it? Here's number 3. Look for the best in each other and always do your best to bring it out. Number 3 is bring out the best. Number 3 is what? Bring out the best. See, if you're looking for a family code, this is good. Do your part. Be patient. Bring out the best. Look at the rest of it. Be cheerful no matter what. Oh my, that would bless our families, wouldn't it? Show up, be cheerful no matter what. Pray at all times. Miles gave us that teaching last weekend. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. Hey, let's unpack that. Jotted down in my own notes, our own family code. A family code, here we go. Number 1 is do your part. In other words, everybody has a part to do in the family. Everybody's got to show up. Everybody's got to grow up. Everybody's got to help clean up. Everybody's got to step up. Everybody's got to speak up. Everybody's got to help build up. This is what a family does. And just what he says, it can happen in the church. It can happen in your own family. Every once in a while you say, you know what? We're going to have to warn the freeloaders. Nobody in this family can freeload. Okay, you aren't doing your part, and I'm going to give you a warning here. Isn't that just good? Doesn't that sound like family? That's good family advice. Son, no more freeloading here. It's because we build up one another by doing our part. Everybody's got a part. Encourage the stragglers. See, sometimes you can just drift off. You may not even intend to. It can happen in your faith, and somebody needs to help encourage you get back on track. That can happen in family. And pull up the exhausted. Some people are working so hard in the family that they need encouragement to kind of help pull them back up. Everyone does their part. 2, right there, be patient. Now that's unfortunate because I discovered I inherently have the gift of impatience. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Anybody else have that gift? I have it. I haven't worked for it. I don't know where it came from. I've had it ever since I was born. I am naturally impatient with people. And yet, the instruction is to be what? How annoying. Another thing I got to work on. I mean, why couldn't it say, be impatient with one another? Nailed it. Got it. I can do that. No, it's got to be patient. See, when Josh, our firstborn, came along 18 months later, his sister, Julissa, was born. So we took Josh as an 18-month to the hospital, and we introduced him to his sister. Josh, this is the little being that was in your mama's tummy. And she's now your sister. We're going to bring her home. It's going to be awesome. And he watched us attend to her, and he looked at mom, and he looked at me, and he looked at her, and he promptly hit her and said, no. Which I think meant, send her back. He crawled under the bed. I think it was in hopes that if he just hid and then came out, she would go away and everything would be like it was supposed to be, centered on him. But see, family's not about me. Family's about the we. Yeah? Keep listening. And the reason we all have the gift of impatience is because impatience always begins with me. The reason you're impatient is because you start with you. Impatience is me first. And so I'm impatient with you because I start thinking about me. Do you know what patience means? I have to be you first. In order for me to get patient, I have to start thinking about you. That's why it says in there, be attentive to individual need. It means I'm going to have to actually think about you and the family. Oh my goodness. And the moment I am, that's what begins to foster patience. And the reason that's difficult, of course, is because we're different. It's difficult because we're different. It's difficult because we're what? Different. I mean, Marcia and I participated in bringing all four of our kids into this world, but they're all different. I'm like, what did you do? Because it wasn't me. I mean, how did they get so different? Have you noticed that as parents? I mean, it was just different. I put my order in for what I wanted. That is not what God delivered. They're just all different. Hey, they're different in your family. Let's just talk about differences. There are the eat fast and the eat slow group in every family, right? I want to know who of you are the eat fast group. Hands up, you're the eat fast group. Okay, who of you are the eat slow group? Oh my goodness. My eldest son, Josh, is the eat slow group. He's 7 bites in, I'm done eating. I don't understand what it happened growing up, though. I was the slow one growing up. My older brother Ron could eat 3 hot dogs. It literally happened. 3 hot dogs and a whole fry before I could finish a hot dog. But in my family, I'm the fast, and my son Josh is slow. It just drives you nuts. Now he's probably healthier. Good for him. But we're different. How about talkers? Who is the talk a little and who's the talk a lot? Let me see all the talk a lot people. If you're the talk a lot people, okay? Now let me see the talk a little people. See, in our family, we have 2 talk a lots, my daughter and, believe it or not, me. I know it's hard to believe. And then the other 4 are talk a little, which is a pretty good ratio because that's kind of what you need. Because we're happy to take over for everybody. How about emotional expression versus emotional reserved? Who are the more emotionally expressive people? You're the more emotionally expressive. Who are the more emotionally reserved people? Josh, the eldest, would say about his sister, it's folklore in our family. It's not funny to you, it's just folklore in our family. He would just say, why does she always have to be so happy like that? Why does she always have to be so excited? Why does she always, oh, this is so, what? Daddy, what's wrong with her? Well, he's more emotionally reserved. Son, there's nothing wrong with her. She's just different. She's just what? Different than you. And Josh comes by it honestly. He's from his mother. My wife, if you know her at all, is more emotionally reserved. She has an emotional high and low of about an inch. This is my wife. You got to watch carefully or you won't see it. This is awesome. This is awful. Awesome? Awful. Thank God this church wouldn't be here if it weren't for her stability, okay? Me, I'm a yardstick. I'm like, this is awesome. This is awful. It's just awful. And I'm awesome, awful. And she's like, oh yeah. You don't even know. Honey, what is it? Yeah, it's awesome. Is it? Because I can't tell. Because we're different. You know what I'm talking about? How about pace? How many of you are fast-paced, slow-paced? Okay, hold up. Who are the fast-paced? Who are the slow-paced? For the love of God, get out of the left lane, okay? I'm sorry. My bad. That's not even in scripture. But it would be awesome. They made two lanes because there's two different kinds of people. And we're different. But we have to be patient with each other. So get in the right lane and we will be patient. Sorry. How about height? Tall, short, average. You're more tall. Where are the more tall group? More short, more average. I'm in the more average group. Really? You're going to do that to me? All right, I might be in the slightly short group. 5'8". Same height of Jesus, but that's irrelevant. It doesn't matter that when God left heaven, he chose to be 5'8". That's not important. Some people are like, I didn't know that. It's in the Greek. It's hard to find. This is being recorded, isn't it? We were in the basement over Christmas break, and my college son, Jake, who turned 19, I need a little help, and I was going to change a bulb. It's a lower section because it has, you know, the light and the fan, ceiling fan. So, but I couldn't reach it. So I said, "Hey, son, bring the step stool." And he walks over, wee wee wee, wee wee wee. I'm like, "Well, good, you can come do this one too." And he says, "Well, Dad, surely you can reach it." I said, "No, I can't." "Oh, come on, Dad, try." "Really? You just turned 19. What were you?" So I did. I stretched. I mean, I just reached. He's like, he starts laughing like a schoolgirl. You really are short. Here's the good news. He's back in college. Here's the bad news. He has no money because I sent him with nothing. See, because we're all what? Different. And so you got to be patient. See, you never belittle difference. You celebrate it. It's family. In fact, you practice bringing out the best in each other. Does your family do that? See, because you can bring out the worst in each other, or you can bring out the best. This is great insight here. He says, when you get annoyed by each other, don't snap. Bring out the best. My wife, Marcia, just finished yesterday at Disney her half marathon. Did a great job, like 11-minute miles. And she did that with high traffic and people in front of her. And yeah, proud of her. And you know what? All along, she's good at this. She's gifted at this. She loves to do this. And you know what? All year, as a family, we brought out the best. We talked about it. We encouraged her. We built her up. We let the schedule be adjusted for her. And we celebrate her accomplishment. That's what family does for each other. And listen, you as a family, this is what you got to do for each other. And you're saying, "Well, you know what? You don't understand my family. It's broken. My family is stalled." PK, are you telling me that if I would just commit to the family mealtime, no tech, no toys, lock in, connect, rewind, use this family code, that our family would change this year? Yes, I am. It's exactly what I'm telling you. Go do this. There's the encouragement at the bottom of your teaching notes to make a decision. Decision. We commit to come to the table for the next month, at least 4 nights a week, 30 to 60 minutes, and practice rewind to build up. Right now, you settle it in your soul. See, in a world where families tend to break down, let's be a family that builds up. And as I turn this service over to campus pastors and you wrestle through this decision, listen in to Jace Robertson, not as actor in an episode this time, but as a husband, as a father, and as a man. Listen in.
Toughest thing about doing a TV show and, you know, duck season every year is 3 months. My wife calls it an ordeal. I actually have a job making duck calls, so we have all these things going on, and the tough part is, where's the time for your kids? And especially when you're on a TV show and you're getting all this notoriety, you know, we have the maturity to realize, look, fame is fleeting and money is fleeting. What counts is your faith and your family. But it's tough on kids. And so what I try to do is every day, no matter what's happened, no matter where we've been, I try to make a conscious decision to have some kind of positive impact on their lives. And what I realize is it's not going to happen by accident.
And that right there is the truth about family. It doesn't build up by accident. Your family will not thrive in 2014 by accident. So I want to pray for you. Right here in the room, bow your heads with me. Cafe Theater, Cornerstone, if you're hanging out in the lobby, let's just all take a moment before God. I want to pray. I want to ask that God would help you make this decision, that there would literally be thousands of us as families who commit over the next month to go do this. Heavenly Father, I know that there are some families among us for whom they would say, oh, but there's distance and there's undercurrent and there's tension. There's things we can't get through as a family. You don't understand. And oh God, I pray right now that those men and women, husbands and wives, families, couples, right now would be willing not to go talk about the past, but to right now engage a new direction for the future. To do nothing more than say, okay, I'm going to warm up here and I'm going to go do this. Yes, it'll be awkward, feel forced for maybe the first week or two. But all we're going to do is quit consuming food for the sake of food, and we're going to connect. I pray, God, that literally thousands of us would in our souls say, I'm in. I'm in. We'll change calendar. We'll set priorities. We're going after this as a family. For the next 30 days, we're going to rewind. We're going to put the family code in play. God, I pray that you would help us each do our part, that you would grow patience in us, that we would bring out the best in one another, and so often we bring out the worst. Form us, I pray. In truth, God, thousands of families, at least four nights a week over a month, that's tens of thousands of mealtimes. Heavenly Father, by the power of your Spirit, I'm going to ask right now that you would superintend each one of those, that you would truly descend upon our families and you would ordain that time, that you would shepherd it, guide it, reform us, build us, strengthen us, put our roots down, bring in the beauty of the mystery and the magic of the bond of family in those times. Bring laughter, smile, support, encouragement. Transform our families in those moments as microcosm moments for the core of our whole family. I pray that you would superintend this by your grace, Lord, and let this blessing rest on every family who's willing to put it in practice. This I ask in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, saying, amen.